can imagine in Minnesota there's a few heads that people would like to whack. If you ever doubted if your vote counts there, look no further than the Senate race. 2.9 million ballots have been cast in that race, and Republican incumbent Norm Coleman leads his Democratic challenger Al Franken by just 215 votes. It's so close that the results triggered an automatic recount. And for more on that story, we're going now to Tom Scheck from the Minnesota Public Radio. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. And how are you there?
Just getting ready to start counting the ballots. I got my abacus here and a graph and a pencil, and I'm just going to go 1, 2, 3 to get to 2.9 million.
So, Tom, let's start at the beginning here. Have all of the votes been counted?
They were counted by the scanning optical machines. As you know, they process these things through machines. And now what's going to happen is they're going to start going through these ballots one by one, and election officials are going to go through and start putting them in piles. Here's one for Al Franken. Here's one for Norm Coleman. Here's one who voted for someone else or wrote someone in. And there are going to be two people on either side, one for Norm Coleman and one for Al Franken. And basically, whenever they disagree with that election judge who's making the determination on, you know, this is a vote for Al Franken or Norm Coleman, they're going to be able to challenge that and put it in a separate pile. And when they do that, all of those challenged ballots are going to eventually make their way, we're hoping, by December 16th, to this group called the State Canvassing Board, which is the Secretary of State and four judges, two Supreme Court judges from Minnesota and two local judges. And then they're going to determine what the voter intent was. So if someone circled Norm Coleman's name instead of filled in that bubble, like all of the young students out there who've taken standardized tests, they're going to know, they're going to say, okay, that's a vote for Norm Coleman. And that's where they're going to pretty much, that's where a lot of the fist fights almost are going to happen there.
So break this down for us. How did it get to be such a close race in a state that went solidly for Democrat Barack Obama on the presidential ticket?
Well, part of the reason was is that a lot of voters weren't convinced about Al Franken, and Norm Coleman is part of the reason for that. They've really tried to question him, say he wasn't fit to be a senator. But at the same time, there were a lot of people who weren't happy with Norm Coleman, and you know, they said he was too close to President Bush. So there was almost this sense where folks were just, they weren't sure who they were going to vote for. And I talked to a lot of folks who just said, boy, I didn't make my final decision until I got into the voting booth and I decided to vote for Al Franken or I decided to vote for Norm Coleman. There was another factor in play. We had a third party candidate, the party from Jesse Ventura, the former governor, the Independence Party, and he sucked about 15% of the vote or so. So that kind of sucked a little bit of the air out of both of the major party candidates.
Well, it made it a much more complicated process. You know, I've seen Al Franken in the days after this election and in the hours leading up to the recount. I mean, he looks so buttoned up. I mean, he looks so non-comedian-like. I mean, he's trying to look like a senator. He ends up actually looking like someone on the vestry at some like Episcopal church there in the Twin Cities handing out programs on Sunday.
It's amazing. I mean, here's a guy who the Coleman campaign framed him as this guy who, you know, he's way over the top in terms of the jokes he makes, and they pretty much trotted out all of these inappropriate jokes that every constituency out there could be offended by. And so he was so buttoned up that we were like, is this guy really a comedian throughout the entire campaign? Because he very rarely joked. Near the end in some of the debates, you could tell that he had that sense of a comedian and the timing, because sometimes he would throw a zinger at Coleman, but you never really saw it on the stump. He talked a lot about how serious he was, because I think he was almost overcompensating for the fact that people view him as a comedian.
And he's from Albert Lea, which is the funniest city in Minnesota.
Just saying Albert Lea makes me laugh. So.
Well, Tom, let me ask you this. Is there a lot of confidence across the board with the canvassing board that is in charge now of the recount? Will the results be taken seriously and considered credible?
Eventually, yes. I mean, everyone is kind of expecting this to end up in the courts, because either campaign can contest the election. But there's been a lot of discussion. There's been a lot. Republicans have been criticizing the Secretary of State because he's a Democrat. They don't have confidence in him. But at the same time, Democrats are kind of saying, well, look, these two Minnesota Supreme Court justices have ties to the Republican Party. So there's a little bit of concern on both sides. Now, all of these people on this canvassing board have said, hey, we're in there to do a job. There may be some some ballots that might be questionable that we're going to have to rule on eventually. But they say when they put on that robe, the judges, or when they set up and sit down and start looking at this, they're going to be very professional about it.
Although, Tom, I would think that the experience in 2000 would scare those justices not wanting to have around their necks the idea that they called the election. I think they're going to be looking for a way for the voters to make this clear and that they're just enablers of the recount.
Well, that's going to be the thing. I mean, the difficult thing may be that there could be up to 5,000 ballots that go before this canvassing board.
Wow.
And if there's 5,000, then they're going to really be the kind of deciders here in terms of, okay, well, we think this is a Norm Coleman ballot or an Al Franken ballot. I mean, we were kind of trying to get from them a sense of how many ballots are you going to look at? Is it going to be 100? Is it going to be 500? And they said, these are the campaigns that were saying, we're not sure. We're prepared for anything from 500 ballots to 5,000 ballots. They set aside 3 days, and they say that they're going to look at every ballot. It could take 3 minutes to make a decision on every mm-hmm. ballot when it goes through that way. And so they're like, well, we have 3 days, but it could go longer if necessary.
Well, Tom, just so you know, the whole country has its eyes on Minnesota, and especially Democrats, because obviously it's not lost on you that this is a very important race now with Democrats holding a 58-seat majority in the Senate. With this race in Minnesota and the race in Georgia, you guys are it.
Yeah, and the Republicans and Democrats on the national level know this. They're spending a lot of money here. You get these fundraising alerts from both sides saying, you know, Al Franken's trying to steal the election, or, you know, Norm Coleman's only up 215 votes. They really try to sensationalize it to raise money off of it, because both sides say they're going to need to raise like $2 to $3 million for a recount fund.
Tom Scheck, thank you.
You got it.
Tom Scheck is a reporter for Minnesota Public Radio.
It's going to be so great to watch C-SPAN in the next couple of weeks. Put that in the Coleman pile. That goes in the Coleman pile. No, that's a Franken pile. That goes in the Franken. No, that's for the court. The judges have to look at that, and they'll have lots of Jell-O salad and brownies. I mean, it'll be great. We're talking about debt, banking, and credit cards all day in addition to the election.
Our debt problem in this country is our problem. It's Americans' problem. We can't blame the banks or the lending institutions for making cheap debt available to us. We don't have to take it.
So can you only blame yourself? Here's another take.
The credit card agreement itself has gone from about one page in 1980 to more than 30 pages today. And the additional 29 pages were not to help the customer.
That's Harvard Law Professor Elizabeth Warren, expert in consumer bankruptcy and commercial law, and as of Friday, a member of the Bailout Oversight Board.
We're focusing on debt all week, and we want to hear how you feel as though your bank has wronged you. Are you piling up fees from your ATM or your credit cards? What do you think about bailouts? Catherine Forstrescher writes on our website, auto workers are employees. They pay taxes. It's outrageous to me that so many people side with bank owners and the Chamber of Commerce in the debate of how to pull the U.S. economy out of recession. You can register your ideas at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. And you can subscribe to our podcast, takeaway.org, or on iTunes. I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Adora Udoji, and this is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.